We've all had the experience. You know the one of a small child, perhaps, saying to you, "Come and see, come and see, come with me." And you're probably having a conversation with another adult, and you really don't want to be bothered right that moment. And you know what happens? The child doesn't give up. The hand tugging, the wrapping around the leg, the poking, until you finally say, "I'll come and see." And you go to see whatever it is, and sometimes it's extraordinary, and sometimes you can't figure out what on earth they're showing you. And sometimes it takes you to a new place because you see something totally different, like you've seen it for the very, very first time. Come and see. Today we hear in the gospel the story of come and see. Because we all have doubts, don't we? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I remember the first time I preached in my hometown. It wasn't that text, but it might as well have been. Can anything good come out of Shawville? That's all I could think as I stood to give my first sermon to the people that had known me most of my life. And so we have doubts about this thing we're going to see, whatever it is, whether it be the Son of God or an acorn that a child has found for us, a nugget of newness. Come and see. It's the interesting thing about the Christian faith, though. It began with Jesus, and it hasn't stopped. Christian faith is personal. It's about a personal invitation. It goes from one person to another. Come and see. Come and see what this life brings me. Come and see what the Bible tells me. Come and see how my life has been changed. Come and see this community which upholds me. So it's very, very personal. I know I've told you before that 97% of people who join a church become because they have been invited by a friend. And so that speaks indeed to how that hand tugging, leg wrapping, insistence sometimes works. In fact, almost always. Last Sunday, we had a come and see moment. It would last about 2 hours, but it was definitely a moment. It was our open house last Sunday afternoon, and I've been spending a lot of time this week thinking about what that was like and what it means for us. And I haven't got all that figured out yet, but because there was so much information. It was a come and see moment. And I found out afterwards, and I've got to give you all credit for this, you're very gracious. People said to me, more than one person said, "I couldn't figure out why we were having an open house. Who would want to come and see our church?" But no one told me that. They had doubts beforehand. You probably all thought I was completely crazy, but you still said, "Let's do it anyway, because Beth's suggesting it." Thank you. And it turned out different than I expected, too, but it was one of those moments when people came and saw. Thanks to Kitty, who stood on the street and dragged people in. If Kitty Cox was standing on the street when I walked by and she said, "You're coming to our open house," I would say yes. I would say yes, and they did. No question. Harvey knows from personal experience there is no question about what you do when Kitty asks. So from that to the salsa dancers who come on Friday night and had never seen the church and they felt able to come and see. To family members, I know someone who had 5 family members here, something like that, who came and saw what they've been talking about. To clergy colleagues of mine, who have, of course, heard insistently about what's been going on, who came and saw. To your friends and family, to people we've never, ever seen before, who came off just because they could see into the church. So it's quite extraordinary. And it'd be one thing if they just came and saw. But what did they find? One of my friends goes to Lutheran Church, very involved in the church, and has been to many, many, many church events. I talked to her. I went for lunch with her for lunch later in the week. And she said, "You need to understand that that was the best thing I have ever been at in a church." So I asked her to tell me about that. "Why?" I said. She said, "Well, first of all, it was open. It was very clear that anyone could come. The second thing was, it was hospitality. Wine and food. Can't go wrong with either of those two things." But she said the real thing was the feeling and the conversations that were had. They weren't just, "Hi, nice to meet you." Almost everyone I've talked to had a deep conversation with somebody at that event. There was something about it that set the stage for not just come on in, but see me, see us. And so that, I think, speaks highly of what happened, and I think there was a huge amount of the Spirit in that. But it was a grace-filled come and see moment. You see, I believe that the body language of our church changed with this. The body language. We hear a lot about the body today in Paul's reading. Well read, Gay. That's a very difficult reading to read without laughing or crying or something in between. But we hear about the body, and because there's so much F language in it, we sometimes miss the point. Paul is actually saying, take care of your body. Don't treat it lightly. Don't throw it away. Take care of it. It's all you've got on this earth. And when people get to know you, they want to know all of you. They want to see that you're in your body, that you own it, that you care for it, that you're together in that. Not that you're wasting or squandering it. We need to remember that we each individually own that as people, and we as a church, this is our body. This is our body, this space that we are in. Of course, as with people, we talk, we do actions, we walk outside, we support various ministries, we do lots of things. But we live in this space. And so when we opened our doors, we went from being closed physically, I mean really, we were, to open. And that's a huge change in a short time. There's two things that were fascinating to me, I've been thinking about a lot this week, when I was interviewed to be a rector. One was the conversation and the quality of the conversation we had. That's why I came. Because of that conversation and because of the heart and the spirituality and the hope and the dreams, that's why I said yes when you asked me. But one other thing happened at my interview that I never thought too much about, but I have been noticing it this past week. I was never shown the church. And in fact, I was never offered to see the church. At the time, I thought, well, that's interesting, but I was so excited about the darn conversation, I couldn't have cared less, because I was already in. I already knew. If you'd said yes, asked me, I'd say yes. So I didn't really think about it till later. And of course, I happened to have seen the church. But I mentioned it to the bishop last night. I said, "You know, when I was interviewed, I never saw the church." And he said, "What? What do you mean?" So then I asked the dean, "Do you know, when I was interviewed, I never saw the church?" He said, "That's bizarre. There's nothing wrong with it. It was just odd, different." Well, you know, that's all right. I like odd and different. But now I realize it's partially because of our body language. Our body language was, if you've been here, you've seen it, and now it's open. It's different. I think if you interviewed me now, you'd offer to show me the church. That's the way it is for us. We have to take ownership of something. Something else has changed besides our body language. It's also what I've noticed this week with the open doors. From 11:45 to 1:15, our doors have been open, Monday to Thursday, and some of you have come and gracefully sat and welcomed people, or not if they didn't come. But every day, I am pretty sure every day, someone walked through this church when the doors were open. Some stayed a while, some chatted, some were just maybe moving through to do something, but there were people here. And one thing I noticed is that people started to live here. I noticed the Hannahs reading the memorial book. I noticed Brian and Mary Ann when they were here. I happened to come through when they were here, and Mary Ann was cleaning the kids' corner. Brian was arranging every hymn book in the church. People were living in the space. And I realized one of the things that we haven't done perhaps very much is we've come on Sunday, we've worshipped, we've come to an event, a concert, or whatever, and we've gone home, and we haven't lived here as much as we could. Some of us live here a lot, but some of us don't. We're more kind of like physically visitors of the space. And so one of the things that's changing when you've got 2 hours to sit in the church and see if someone comes in or not is that you can't help but pay attention to where you are. And so it's another thing about how this is changing us and how we have an opportunity to learn from that and to say to people, come and see what I find here. So what will they see? Will they see bored people sitting in the church? Will they see all the ministries that we do? That they already see. We have a large reputation for the good that we do in the community. But what else will they see? Will they always see the friendliness and the excitement of last week? Or will they see sometimes some pain and despair? And is that not all right too? Because we as a body live through all of those things. And it doesn't really matter what the experience, the pain or the joy is, it's how we handle it. It's how we treat one another, it's how we welcome people. It's how we pull on people's hand and say, come and see, because there's something special at St. John's. In the hymn that we sang, which I was supposed to just mark the spot, and I've lost it, it talks about God having created us. And in that hymn, you can hear the joy of that creation. And we've been created with joy, too, individually and here as this community. And so I look forward with a little trepidation and a lot of not knowing and a lot of excitement about the years ahead when we say, come and see, and we know what it is that we have to show. Amen.